mistakes, so will you. La da 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 la da da la la da 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 da.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Clean Water Act Turns 45. The celebration will be held on Wednesday, October 18th at 6 p.m. at the Lorewood Public House and Brewery in Portland. The Clean Water Act has kept huge amounts of pollution out of our waterways and made significant progress towards the vision of fishable, drinkable, and swimmable waterways. Environment Oregon will be celebrating the Act's 45th anniversary with drinks, appetizers, and speakers. Again, that's the Clean Water Act Turns 45. Celebration on Wednesday, October 18th at 6 p.m. at the Laurelwood Public House and Brewery, 5115 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, KBOO listeners. The time is almost 11:30. You were just listening to Stage and Studio. D-May Roberts had Joe Kai on, and he was playing some fantastic music. And just to let you all know that Stage and Studio is made possible by KBOO members and support from PD Expendables Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Arri LED lighting. They can be reached at 503-887-5880 or their online store at pdexpendables.com. Coming up next is Art Focused. Eric Bartels interviewing Roy Antonio. Stick around.
Hi there. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM 90.7 Community Radio. My name is Eric Bartels. This Friday, the 20th of October, Milagro, Portland's Latino arts and culture organization, will open the world premiere of Éxodo in conjunction with its 22nd annual Day of the Dead celebration. With us today is Roy Antonio Arauz, the producing creative director at Milagro and co-creator of the show. Roy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
What can you tell us about Día de los Muertos, Day of the Dead?
Day of the Dead is a Mexican celebration where basically you invite the dead, those that have departed, you invite them to come back for that one night in a matter of respect. And so that's basically it in a nutshell. There is different celebrations of it, but the one we're most familiar with is the building of the altars. So people build an altar for their dead, and the altar contains different elements that you want to make sure you have in your altar. So you have earth, you have food, you have water. And so that's why you typically see like bits of soil. You also have fire, so you will always see candles. Part of this is the bread. Like I said, you have the Day of the Dead bread that people share. You will see people put bottles of tequila or rum. You will see flowers. It's very colorful. So you're putting things in the altar that also remind you of the people that you want to celebrate.
Personalized items specific to a particular person.
Exactly. So, you know, it could be their photograph. It could be a jacket. It could be their watch. And the idea is that you put this out for them, and it's sort of a calling to them. And so they come for that night, and they feel welcome. And
art is also a big piece. For the average American, if we can say that, there is the association with the now I've forgotten the name, papel picado.
Yes.
The art, you fold the paper, the colorful paper, and you make cuts in it so that when you unfold it, it creates this sort of little display. And there's other elements too. What am I missing?
So you have the face painting, which is probably one of the most iconic items also of, aspects of it, is people dress, paint as the calaveras, mm-hmm. and you have the well-known calavera, I just forgot her name.
Calavera meaning skeleton?
Calavera, basically.
Skull.
Calavera means
skull. I get those
skull,
two confused.
Skull, I think calavera is, the calaveras are the whole body ones. And we have La Catrina, there's a painting of her, and the Catrina represents the wealthy. La Catrina y el Catrín, they represent the wealthy, and part of it is just to say that money doesn't save you from being dead. And so people dress up a lot as La Catrina y el Catrín. That's because you get to wear the feathers and wear the boas and things.
Fancy dresses?
Fancy dress, the man is right. In the suit.
Right.
And then the other face painting, then that's a big iconic portion of the celebration.
Is it fair to say that Dia de los Muertos differs in significant ways from the sort of traditional American Halloween celebration? Oh. And what are the sort of misconceptions around that?
It's completely different. It's a completely and absolutely different celebration. And Halloween is more for the spooky. It seems to me like we celebrate it more the spooky side. Halloween comes from a celebration of autumn and a celebration of the autumn feast combined with whatever celebrations come from the dead and witches and ghosts. And this is not about that. It's a celebration of the dead. It is not about scary at all. It is about welcoming and love and remembering those you love. And so it is a completely and absolutely different celebration.
Yeah, we can come back to this. I don't want to sort of go too deeply into the varied sort of meanings or representations. Let's talk about Éxodo. What was the genesis of it? Where did it come from? You were obviously instrumental.
So Éxodo came from basically when we sat down to plan this season. We had a season planned, about October of last year, and then November happened. And we sat down again and trying to realign our season. And we came up with a theme for the season, which was rise up. And rise up basically meaning stepping up in times of trouble, stepping up, people that step up in times of crisis. And that's what we meant by rise up. And part of the, as my boss and I were talking, he came up with the idea. He started really pondering wanting to do something that reflected what's happening in the Syrian crisis. At the time, we were really hearing a lot more about it. We were hearing about Greece, and we were hearing all these horror stories coming from the Syrian crisis, people escaping Syria and people dying at sea. And we really wanted to touch on that. And so that was the genesis of what ends up being Éxodo and the show that we open on Friday.
Okay. And as it happens, a number of crises have arisen since then. It's not hard to call it a lucky accident, but now this is, maybe there's an application beyond what you originally imagined.
Well, right. And so basically, your original, I guess it was originally inspired by the Syrian crisis. The main topic of the show is diaspora, and we've been in there are different types of diaspora, and so we have the two creators were both come from very different backgrounds. Tracy Cameron Francis, she is of an Egyptian, she's Egyptian American, okay. And me, I'm Costa Rican American, and so I have seen reasons for conflict from a different lens. Thankfully, I have not experienced it myself. However, being in Costa Rica, I saw in the 80s when the wars in Nicaragua was happening with the revolution, and I saw all the Nicaraguans that had to leave their country because of what was happening. Later, I didn't live in Costa Rica anymore at the time, but I visit often. In the early aughts when Colombia was going under their big transition and the drug wars, there were a lot of Colombians leaving the country. Now there's a lot of Venezuelans leaving the country. And so we wanted to make sure that this was not a story about Syria. This is not what this is about. This is a story about people who have to leave their home for a reason that they don't, that it's outside of themselves. They're not choosing to leave.
Right.
They're being forced to leave, and they have to go on a journey.
Okay.
And this has been happening in our society for, you know, it just repeats itself. And, you know, one of the most recent American diasporas was Katrina when it hit New Orleans and how New Orleans lost so many people. And today we see what's happening in our world with, you know, natural disasters with like Puerto Rico, what's happening in California, that eventually, you know, the populations will have to move someplace else. And then how many of those people are actually going to come back or stay where they are and then form a new life in their new home?
There is a rather profound sort of art piece at Milagro. You described that for several years there's been a resident artist each year. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
So Milagro creates every year for their art, for every show. For a few years now, we've been creating what we call the art card, where we commission an artist to make a painting inspired by the artwork. And we had been using different artists for different pieces. Starting last year, we started having a resident artist. So last year was William Hernandez, and he did four paintings, each one of related to the four main stage shows. And this year is Maya Ceramics. And so we work with this artist, we have meetings with them, and the artist creates a piece that it might not be a literal interpretation of the show. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's closer than others. But it is inspired. We try to inspire the artist to do that representation of the show. And then this piece is used in what's called, again, the art cart that you might see around town. And we display it in our lobby during the time of the show.
Was Maya brought in right at the outset, as you started to create Éxodo? Was she part of that process?
No, she was not. She came on board probably in the summer. And then, like I said, she has met with me. She has met with Tracy. She's met with our marketing manager. And we talked to her. And we get the drafts. We get the drafts from her. And then we give feedback, and all this is, you know, and that's how we just build it. We got maybe, I think, three or four drafts of work as we were moving forward, and they were like, oh, this is it. This is exactly what we're looking for.
Some of the roots of this particular production are kind of wide-ranging. You've talked about your co-creator being of Egyptian descent, that this is based in part on a 5,000-year-old Egyptian book. Were you sort of present for Maya, the artist? Did she need any sort of background from the rest of the team, or was she just sort of left to interpret all by herself?
Yes, and. A yes, and is sort of our, yeah. So basically, Maya, as she sat down, she sat down with me, and we gave her the background of the story, and then I sat down with her and told her what the story was shaping. The thing about this show, specifically at Éxodo, is that Éxodo is what's called a devised piece. It's devised theater. So this didn't exist when we started working on it 6 weeks ago. So we had, Tracy and I had an outline of where we wanted the show to go. We had our spots. But we didn't really know what it was going to be about. We didn't know what the story or, you know, what was going to be the theme that held it together. All this just started coming forward. And so when she starts painting, we have an idea of the show. But I can't tell her, this is what's going to happen here, this is what's going to happen there. It was all with her, you know, unlike the rest of the pieces this season, where we have a script that we can give her to read and be inspired. She had to talk to me, she had to talk to Tracy, and then extrapolate from that and at the same time, we don't want to tell the artist, this is what you have to do, because we want, you know, again, sometimes the pieces are super close to the actual themes of the show. Sometimes, you know, and this, even with the scripted shows, sometimes, you know, last season I discovered this, that sometimes the artwork is just evocative of the feeling we're trying to say, but you're not, you don't see necessarily a scene of the show in the artwork.
Right.
And so, like I said, with Éxodo, the tricky but also the freeing portion of it is that they can do, they're just going based off the feeling. So with her, I remember in our conversation, I can't speak for her conversation with Tracy, but in the conversation with me, as I was talking to her about the journey and finding home and taking the what do you take with you with the dead when somebody in your life dies? What do you hold on to them and how do you ritualize? She basically, that rang very true for her because she has moved around a lot and she has lived in many places. And she's had to leave her family or she's had to leave, you know, people in her life. We all have people that have passed in our lives. And so for her, this idea of having to pick up and go somewhere else and what do you take and what do you leave behind rang very true. And that was...
What was your reaction as you've seen her work? How have you responded? What's been your sort of visceral feeling about her ability to capture and communicate what Exolo is about?
It was fantastic. I mean, it's interesting. And again, when, as you see the artwork and you see the first four couple of pieces, you're like, oh, this is not necessarily what we're looking for. And then she asks questions and then we give her answers. And then we get the next round of drafts and you're like, it's a little bit closer, but not really. And then you get the next one and it's like, oh my God, this is it. Oh my God. You know, I think we got three or four drafts the last time. And this particular painting, it was immediately when I saw, like, oh, this is it. This is the one that we want you to continue with. Because this is the one we want to pursue more.
So it was very much a collaborative process. It was,
oh, absolutely.
It was back and forth between the creators and
absolutely.
And the artist.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, they have to match somewhat what we want from it. But at the same time, I want them to do their artwork. I mean, I don't pretend to like all artwork. You know, I don't pretend, you know, it's that would be unreal. But I also know that other people do. And so I can't, if you know, I know how to recognize, like, this is great, even though it's not my particular taste in art. And I'm not saying that this is or isn't. I'm just saying, like, you know, just we learned that in the position that we're in, we want the artist to express themselves. You know, the whole point of this is to have the artist express themselves and hopefully reach a wider audience and reach more people to look at it and go, oh, this is inspired by this piece of art.
Is there any, we're on radio, obviously, so we can't show anyone any of Maya's work. Was there any piece in particular that that you responded to that you felt captures what audiences will see in the theater?
What do you mean
of Maya's work? I mean, there are various pieces. No? Or
what? I don't know. I don't understand the question.
Well, Maya has created for the show one painting.
Right.
Then that was, I'm thinking, I guess I was thinking that's my mistake.
No, so like, for example, last year we had William Hernandez. And so this is the one that he did, he did four shows. And so some of them, you know, all his pieces rang very true. But for example, the Day of the Dead piece that he did, when we gave him the feedback for the piece, the story was very different than the story that ended up being on the stage, you know. So it was kind of interesting because the picture featured a couple of things that were just not in the show at all, but it still had the spirit of the show. The spirit of the show last year was homelessness and veterans. And so it still featured that. So it still featured the main topics of the show. It's just that by the end of the show, the original concept was no longer the same because, again, devised theater just changes as you're going.
Right. Again, for radio, we're looking at the piece that was created by Maya Ceramics for the production.
Yes. And if you were to go online, you would see a little snippet of it. If you go to milagro.org and click on the Exolo page, you will see a portion of it on the web page specifically for the show.
Okay. Perfect. What about the design of the production, the sets, the costumes? What should we know about those elements of the show?
So basically the show, when we were working on this, you know, Tracy and I were talking, Tracy brought up the Egyptian Book of the Dead. And this way we were able to do a show that follows rituals, that follows a specific, let's say, religion, quote unquote, but at the same time, we're not touching on any religion that is current. So we're not stepping on toes of anybody. This is a religion that's 5,000 years old, and they have their own belief system. And so we basically, that's what we held on to. And so the design in the show, all the design throughout, is very evocative of the Egyptian mythology.
Okay.
And so that's where that comes from.
Now, are there elements of the what we expect from the Mexican Dia de los Muertos celebration, or
there are
not
some
necessarily?
Oh well, no. So we made it sure that there are elements to it, that there are things that tie it in, I'm not going to tell, you know, you're not going to come and see calaveras. You're not going to see the face painting, the traditional face painting, but there is face painting. It's just that what we're doing is more evocative of an Egyptian, style of, you know, that's where we're, and because we're also trying to make sure that we're making a black, you know, we're not saying we're in the Middle East. We're not saying this is this particular people's stories. And so we're just being evocative of the different areas. And like I said, this is it's a collaborative process. And so some people bring it this idea and somebody might bring up that idea and then whatever ideas start meshing. But in general, overall, the feeling of the show and the design of the show is evocative of the Egyptian Book of the Dead.
We talked before about the nature of these images and icons that we associate with Day of the Dead, and how they are designed to be kind of anything but scary. That really wasn't the goal. That's not how they originated. Is that reflected even in the absence of what we might regard as the traditional Mexican art that surrounds Day of the Dead? Are we going to get that feeling? Are we going to get any sense of we are celebrating life, that in this, there's a context in which loved ones are lost or threatened, but there's still a celebration of life going on here, and it isn't entirely heavy-hearted.
Yes, that is sort of what we strive towards. Is, you know, my boss always likes to say, Jose Gonzalez, he always likes to say that we are irreverent when it comes to the celebration. And one of the things that we've dealt with, you know, as we've gone through the process, is trying to people understand that irreverence doesn't necessarily mean funny. It just means that we don't treat it precious, like it's precious. So it's just treating something just head on. And so, yes, you will see a lot of, not to the level of maybe the dancing calaveras, but there is an element of fun and, you know, of irreverence in the show, especially because the show follows two lines. And I'm not giving anything away if this is in our promotional materials. But basically, we see what we wanted to represent was the similarity of the journeys. So by using the Book of the Dead as the basis for all of our text, what we're showing is the journey of the living and the journey of the living that have to pick up and go. And then those that die in the process, they also have their journey that they have to follow. They have to get on that boat and they have to go to the underworld and they have to go through the trials and they have to go through the heart trial, right? And the living have to go get on the boat and they have to cross the ocean and they have to get to the new land and they have to go through customs and immigration and doing all the things that they, all their tests. And there is a parallel to the two journeys until they both reach their new home. And then, you know, that's where all these elements come into play.
Let's go back a little bit, and this is sort of moving away from the artistic aspect of this, if we dare. And that's that whole idea of sort of really truly celebrating lost loved ones, those that are gone, which is really kind of absent in our traditional American Halloween celebration. Is it conceivable that in time our proximity to the Day of the Dead celebration will cause us to sort of think a little bit more? Is it possible that we could come to regard this holiday a little differently?
I sure hope so. I mean, I sure hope that we find a way to do that in a way that is not demeaning or disrespectful to the actual celebration. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier and before we started, this is new to me. You know, I'm Costa Rican. Costa Ricans, we do not have a Day of the Dead celebration. And so last year was my first year at Milagro, and I got immersed in it. And we were so into it. My husband is American, and we were both so into the celebration and we were both so moved by the meaning that we ended up making our own altar in our home for the first time, just because I felt like I needed to. And so I hope that people, instead of just seeing it as face painting and something to do at Halloween, to
bags put of candy.
Yeah. That go, I'm going to dress up myself as this and go and ask for Halloween treats. That, yes, if you want to learn about it, learn about what Day of the Dead means, learn what a beautiful celebration it is. And if you're going to celebrate it, then celebrate it with the respect towards the holiday. Because, you know, to say that, oh, you can't celebrate this because you're not Mexican, that would be, I'm not Mexican and I want to celebrate because I love it, but I'm doing it in a way that's respectful to the event. And, you know, and holidays throughout the world get appropriated and get adapted. You know, Christmas, it wasn't Christian originally.
Right.
You know, neither was Easter, or Easter as, I should say, Easter as celebrated in the United States. As somebody from Costa Rica, I never understood why there was a rabbit with colored eggs at Easter. Like,
rabbits don't lay eggs.
Right. You know, it was like, wait, what does this have to do with Jesus rising? and so, you know, we've all done it over and over again. And so to think that it would happen with the Day of the Dead is fine. For me, you know, saying this as a person who is not Mexican. So, you know, we take that with a grain of salt, the size that it deserves. But I also feel that, you know, we've been adapting as cultures spread, as, you know, now that, you know, Mexicans come into the United States and share their festival, that we listen to it and did we learn from it and did we learn the festival and did we appreciate it and don't try to, again, turn it into yet another Halloween costume.
It wouldn't be the first example of the two cultures existing so close to each other, sort of influencing, one and the other in both directions. I mean, we have a Veterans Day, we have a Memorial Day, but it's occurred to me that we don't really have a day to honor anyone. Just, you don't have to have served in the military. And I don't mean to diminish that as a holiday, but you lose your father, you lose a friend, and here's an opportunity, you know, on the calendar to sort of celebrate that person.
And I think that's why, somebody who didn't live this, it was so meaningful last year for us to do that, to for me to have a moment to honor my grandparents that so I think, if I remember correctly, on November 2nd, people do go to the cemeteries in Costa
Right,
Rica,
right.
But we don't have a celebration per se. And so I really think that this, to me, adds that different layer of the celebration and this remembrance of those that, you know, we love.
We are enriched by Milagro's dedication to the Day of the Dead celebration, now in its 22nd year. Éxodo, a world premiere beginning this Friday, the 20th of October, and Roy Antonio Arauz, producing creative director at Milagro and co-creator of the show. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM 90.7. My name is Eric Bartels. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Así que Vamos a delirar. Deliremos por un ratito.
Muy buenas tardes, bienvenidos a la programación en español para este martes de radio. Ya empezamos aquí la transmisión en español. Están escuchando KBOO 90.7 FM en Portland, el 104.3 en Corvallis y el 91.9 en Hood River. Bienvenidos a los que nos escuchan también por KBOO.FM. Les saluda Tania Gómez Daza y estamos dando inicio al programa de Buscando América. Gracias por sintonizarnos una vez más, y lo que van a escuchar esta tarde es un programa dedicado a las letras a través de un podcast fantástico que Radio Cardonal transmite allá en el Valle de Mezquital, Hidalgo. Este es un programa de nuestro querido amigo Alfonso Pedraza sobre la minificción universal. Esta tarde escucharemos sobre las minificciones italianas. Van a disfrutar de una muestra de escritores italianos y textos que fueron publicados en la revista El Cuento, esta revista de imaginación. Van a escuchar textos de Federico Fellini,